going to begin with our scripture reading. The reading today is going to come from Matthew 25, verses 34 through 45. It is a scripture that you're probably very familiar with. I'm reading it from the Message, and I have adapted it slightly. So hear now these words. Then Jesus will say to those on the left, "Enter you who are blessed by God. Receive what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and clothes. I was hungry, thirsty, homeless, and shivering because I was a refugee and you welcomed me." Then those seeking to follow are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then Jesus will say, "I am telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Then he will turn to the ones on the right and say, "Get out, self-centered souls. You're good for nothing but making God's creation a living hell. And why? Because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was homeless and you wouldn't give me a room. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. I was hungry, thirsty, homeless, and shivering because I was a refugee, and you would not welcome me." Then those on the right are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick? It didn't help." And he will answer, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me." May we add blessed understanding to the readings of these words. We're lucky today to have David Michael Cray, our classic guitarist, here with us. I'm so excited. We've been listening to him all as everyone was arriving and even before y'all got here, so we got kind of a free gift. But if we could ask you, David, please, we would love to hear some tunes from you.
Sure. So, my name is David Michael Cray, and I do want to let everybody know on our website at davidmichaelcray.com, there's some links for some free music if you're interested in hearing anything, if you like what you hear today. So, I'm going to play Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Thank you. down my vision.
I'm telling you, that would have been a rough message without my glasses. That's so much better. Amazing, I can see your faces too. So Ian once lived in Iraq, but our family fled to Amman, Jordan because of the war. More specifically, they fled after the kidnapping and brutal killing of her father. Tearfully, she tells the story of her father's kidnapping and brutal torture. And as I listened to her story, my heart was broke for her. You see, they hung her father and burned him as he hung. And as I said, that wasn't enough. Before that, they poured acid on his head, leaving a hole. Then they drug him behind a car. And just before hanging and burning him, they beat him to their death. As you might imagine, they fled their home to find a less violent existence, an existence not so unnecessarily engulfed in violence. And sadly, they couldn't actually leave it all behind. The reality of her father's murder haunts him. Understandably, she has several psychological issues, and her family has to keep constant watch over her to prevent her suicide. Her story is more prevalent than we really want to allow ourselves to believe. The lives of tens of millions of people around the world are threatened daily. By conflict, ethnic violence, drought, and natural disaster. Families are displaced every day in our world and frequently spend year after year after year as refugees, homeless, with little access to the basic necessities of life. Recently, our local chapter of Church World Services started welcoming refugees from Afghanistan. I venture to guess that there will be folks among them that are arriving with stories not too dissimilar from his. So, I wanted to take some time today and take a closer look at the U.S.'s response to refugees, as well as our call as followers of the teachings of Jesus and what that should be. So a few years ago, the National Organization of Church World Services asked me to attend their summit on immigration in Washington, D.C. And I heard story after story about the horrific and difficult lives of refugees straight from the mouths of the very people who had suffered. And one that stood out for me came from an undocumented immigrant who had very recently been aggressively confronted about coming to America to take away American jobs. I thought her response was exceptional. She said this: "I didn't come here because I wanted a job. I came here because I wanted to live." One of the core teachings of most world religions is compassion. It speaks to our humanity and just the connectedness of life. And as you might imagine, that should have quite an impact on our spiritual perspective about refugees and immigration. The Dalai Lama says that it speaks to the need to put the interests of immigrants, the needs of humanity itself, before the needs of countries and even continents. And it seems to me that's a pretty powerful spiritual statement on immigration and refugees when you consider that it comes from a man who has been himself in exile for 62 years. In the U.S., we must also realize that our family histories are rooted in immigration, some by choice, some by necessity, some by force. It should be no surprise that Lady Liberty proclaims that her base can be your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. It should be no surprise, because this nation truly is a giant melting pot. Our diversity is one of our biggest strengths, and there was a time in our history when we more fully realized it and lived into it. And to honor that history, that tradition, I believe we must once again value our immigrant heritage and change our immigration policy to reflect that perspective. Honestly, that's part of what made Church World Services Immigration Summit so compelling. Imagine a couple of hundred people who sort of get it, gathered together to not only value our immigrant roots, but to work towards a U.S. policy that does the same. The weekend in D.C. was full of immigrant stories, as well as supporting data on how immigrant reform is not only something the majority of Americans want, but also something that positively impacts the economy. One of the speakers, Dr. De La Torre, added the helpful perspective that immigration reform is about more than just hospitality, which many religions do encourage, but it's also about the restitution for those who help build this nation and its economy. It was very powerful stuff. And the sort of exclamation point on our first day was a speech by the then president of North Carolina's NAACP, the Reverend Dr. William R. III. To call a speech by Dr. Barbara a speech is to sell short the prophetic voice that he brings to the conversation. What he gave was more of a sermon/rally call. And he reminded us that the issue of immigration is not an issue of red versus blue, of Republican versus Democrat. It is an issue of right versus wrong, of moral versus immoral. He reminded us that it is, quote, just mean to not share with people what they have helped build. How dare we, he said, be mean. He reminded us that the time is now for immigration reform, and in doing so, he set the stage for the day of lobbying that will follow. Now, I am sure that our day of lobbying swayed very few friends on Capitol Hill. But immigrant voices were heard on the Hill, and it was made undeniably clear that they have an abundance of allies in the U.S. We may or may not have enacted some kind of paradigm shift in immigration reform, but in many ways, we did something more important. We were able to share stories of the struggle of immigrants with those who create the laws which impact. We helped show that immigration reform is more about people and less about policies. We planted seeds. Seeds of hope, love, and justice. Seeds of equality, compassion, and restitution. They may not be the trees of reform today, but we can go back and water them and nurture them, tend to them, and I am certain they will inevitably become giant oaks of welcome, inclusion, and new life, whose shade and shelter are a reflection of the highest values of our nation. They will be trees with roots that rest deep in our heritage as a nation, as well as our spiritual identities. But a key strategy for getting there is educating people about the realities of immigrants and refugees, connecting with their stories and humanizing them rather than dehumanizing them. It means seeing our connectedness, seeing our reflections of ourselves and the stories of him and her father, and the immigrants who are arriving in and live in the city, and the Haitian refugees at the U.S.-Mexico border, and in the 82.4 million refugees around the world. 82.4 million. But it should not end there. There are many other kinds of displacements that make people refugees, and we should be able to extend our humanity to them as well, to young people who take to the dangerous streets in search of refuge from abusive parents, to people in the hospital displaced from home and anxious about the future, to older folks unable to physically or mentally live at home any longer, who are experiencing exile in the new and unfamiliar places to which they have to go. The reality is that all of us either have, or will, or are experiencing some kind of displacement. We are all connected. We are all refugees of one sort or another. Sadly, the popular meme widely shared on social media around Christmas still rings true. Jesus and his family fleeing for life from King Herod would have been turned away at the borders in the U.S. or would have been stuck in a detention center, perhaps for years, even though the United Nations in 1951, their convention related to the status of refugees, quote, specifically bars countries from punishing people who have arrived directly from a country of persecution. Not only that, looking to the U.S. response to Haitian refugees who would try to stop them from getting here, chasing them down on horseback as if they were animals. We would talk about the flood of refugees. Although based on most recent U.S. census, the U.S. actually accepts less than 1% of the world's refugees. I know it doesn't actually sound like it, but this message is not meant to be political. Not a debate, not a political debate about refugees. This is about the very fabric and nature of our society and our humanity. The way that we, comparatively the wealthy of the world, treat refugees shows how fallen the nation is. Let us not forget that not only are we connected, but we are spiritual refugees ourselves. Not only is it our spiritual heritage, but it is the reality of being progressive and spiritual in a nation dominated by evangelical Christians. It's part of why I am also very excited to let you know, if you haven't heard already, but at their meeting this week, the Outreach Committee will be considering how our small community, how our small spiritual community here can partner with Church World Services to help those arriving from Afghanistan. If we call ourselves spiritual, if we recognize our connectedness, if we truly understand what it means to be followers of Jesus, who was a refugee himself, we are compelled to respond. We must never forget. In many ways, we are all seeking some sort of refuge. And if we can see that, and if we can believe that, we should see that in our connectedness, the pain and suffering of one is the pain and suffering of all. But if we work together, we can begin to build places of justice and peace here on earth. And perhaps we can once again proclaim to the world, give me your tired, your poor, your puddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, David Michael, could we get some more music from you? We certainly would love it.
Sure. This next piece is a piece that's kind of on the sad side of Crown Jewel more honor time, and it's a beautiful hymn called Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. Sheet on the back table there that if anyone likes free music, I've got some free classical music on my, through my email list. I give out 2 free tracks off of each of my albums whenever I bring out an album. And I also give out poetry and sometimes wellness tips and things like that. And let people know about my custom music that I write for people and stuff like that. So if you like that, you can sign up for that. And I also do concerts and private concerts and things like that too. So, this next piece is a piece by Johann Sebastian Bach, and he was a devout Christian and wrote over 3,000 pieces. Unlike a lot of pieces, his music is all some of the most advanced music that's out there. So it's pretty amazing that he wrote that many pieces over that advanced. And this is a beautiful piece that was written originally for cellos, the prelude from the cello suite in G major, so his first cello suite. Thank you.
Scheduled back soon, so we're looking forward to that. We now enter into a portion of our time together that's more inward reflected. So I'm going to ask you to join me in a prayer and a meditation. Receive these words as you will. Let us bow our heads. Peace frequently escapes us as a people. We think of it as a destination rather than a way of life. We act as if we can create it in the world and then just sort of live in it. May we learn that peace does not work that way. May we learn that peace is a life perspective, much more than it is a state of life. May we learn that peace is a way of being, a way of living, a way of relating to others, much more than it is a distant goal to achieve. May we grow hearts and minds that deeply value lives of peaceful being and help us to see clearly that life lived that way is what it's intended to be. May we be found not so much simply at peace, as much as being peace. May we be found creating peace through our actions, our words, and our day-to-day lives. And may our lives shout to the mountaintops of hate and violence, disharmony and terror. Let there be peace on earth, and let it be.